Well, as we know, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz issued a 2-week stay-at-home order to Minnesotans in an effort to give health care facilities in the state more time to prepare for the spread of the COVID-19 disease. That order takes effect at midnight tomorrow. It continues through April 10th. If you listened to his news conference online yesterday, as I did, I was shocked to discover that there are only 235 ICU beds in the state of Minnesota. And while hospitals and clinics and care facilities try to ramp up their equipment, their ICU capacity, that sort of thing, we can do what we can to slow the spread of the virus. It's easier for some people to do that stay-at-home thing than it is for others. Duluth Mayor Emily Larson joins us on the phone this morning to talk a little bit about what this is going to mean to us here in the Northland. Emily, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
You know, we've been doing telephone interviews on Northland Morning for decades, and we were socially distancing. Who knew?
We're always ahead of the curve. Yes, that's how we do things.
KUMD is kind of spooky like that. One of the things that's so difficult for people to cope with, there's so many things that are so difficult for people to cope with. It's as long as no one that you love is either out of work or sick, it is always interesting when your regular routine gets shaken up a little bit and you realize how many things you just sort of do by rote and you take for granted, and to kind of get a little boot out of that mindset is not a bad thing. But so many uncertainties right now. What are some of the things that city leaders are grappling with? Because people need to know what to plan on. Maybe you were going to buy a house. Maybe you were someone who had been in a shelter and you were supposed to move into your housing, and all of a sudden everything's shut down and nobody knows what's going on. What are some of the things that city leaders are trying to cope with right now as they try to chart a way forward?
Well, yes. I mean, yes to everything you've said. This is a very difficult time. And I will say that, you know, we have been tracking this virus as a city, my team. We have been tracking this for many, many weeks. And so nothing is happening right now that surprises me. Everything that is happening, the closures, the shelter in place, all of that really is kind of what we have been forecasting and expecting, because this virus is real shape-shifty, and you cannot tell who has it. It can incubate for different times. It hits people differently. And so there's such a level of uncertainty, and that is really difficult for everyone to grapple with. So some of what we think about and is important to really be able to confirm for people is, in all stages of this pandemic, the city of Duluth will be able to provide you with utilities and water and public safety and some order and those kinds of things. We are actually providing whole bunch of other services right now too, but often people really need to know that those very, very basics will be there, and we are prepared to provide that in any stage of this pandemic. So, you know, city leaders are thinking about straight up service delivery. I am thinking about people who are isolated and alone. I am thinking about people who are sheltered in places. We now have to stay home for 2 weeks, and home is not a safe place for some people. And so how are we connecting with people for their mental health, for their chemical health, helping to keep track of people who are living in domestic violence situations? And, you know, so for me as a leader, there's a lot that we are working to make sure we are tracking. Maybe not responsible for all of those elements. I can't provide mental health services as a mayor. That's just not where I'm going to be most effective. But I can be asking the critical questions of the governor, of the state, and of local services of how are we doing that? What is a plan for that? So there's just a ton going on. And then all of us, you know, essential workers, people who can work from home, people who are no longer working because of this. We all have families we're worried about. Our kids have drastically different plans this month than they did 2 months ago. We have people who we worry about in our personal life. So everyone is walking around with big, big, heavy burdens on their shoulders. And so I'm mindful of that as well.
I'm glad that you mentioned the issue of domestic violence shelters, because one of the first COVID-19 articles, I suppose, that I read online had to do with the incidence of domestic violence goes up in times of stress. And for all of the reasons you mentioned and a bunch more, this is a time of tremendous stress. So has the city had the opportunity yet to meet with ACO's domestic violence shelter, with Safe Haven, with other shelter leaders? And are there plans in place? Are they working with these shelters to do something? Because the shelters, of course, are pretty much at capacity. And what happens if suddenly there's an influx of people coming into the shelters, not the ICU necessarily from the virus, but from the shelters fleeing a frightening or unsafe situation at home?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. So in short answer, this is an area that's really important to me. This is heart work for me, the idea of ensuring that we are responding in ways that keep people safe who feel unsafe at home. And so we take that very seriously, our Duluth Police Department. And, of course, we have that wonderful, innovative partnership with St. Louis County Mental Health Social Workers as well on staff with the DPD. And so, yes, that team is working closely with the domestic violence community. We continue to have our attorneys on staff who process domestic violence cases and prosecute them. So, I mean, a lot of that work continues. That the work of providing services to people who are experiencing that does not stop. It becomes a little different in the service delivery, maybe, but it needs to be there because many of us have safe situations, and that's wonderful and really important, and we should really treasure that. And many of us don't have that luxury. And so it's important, as many of us get to the finish line in a well and healthy manner through this virus. And part of that is making sure that we're all stepping up, whether it's providing services, whether it's donating to those shelters. Those are essential workers who cannot go home. They need to stay going to and from work because there are vulnerable people who need them. So there's a lot that we all can do to take responsibility.
In addition, many offices, you know, there are so many of the kind of headquarters for services that are based particularly in the county when it comes to food and support services to those who are most vulnerable. And a lot of these offices are closed. And that means that I suppose that you're emailing people or you're calling if you happen to have their home phone number and just trying to connect with people to provide these services has got to be a challenge for members of the public. There's a conference call that's happening this morning at 10 o'clock where in statewide leaders who deal with folks who are homeless, including Lee Stewart, are going to be having this conference call, and they're going to be addressing some of these issues. But what is the city doing to be available and responsive to folks that are homeless in our community and to be trying to, you know, perhaps be a bridge and a partner to help provide services for them?
I think one of the things that the city, I think one of the things we do really well is we know what we do well and we know where we need to move out of the way and we know where we need to infuse time or staff or policy. And this is one where we do a combination of things. We are not, the city of Duluth is not going to be the best homeless provider. That's just not the skill set that the city staff capacity brings. We have facilities, we have funding, we have staff, we have CDBG, we have a lot of different things that are all in that kitchen with Lee Stewart and with the homeless professionals and with people who are experiencing homelessness. So there's a lot that we're doing to track that. I would say one of the very direct examples I can give of what the city is doing is we manage workforce development and career force for the state of Minnesota, along with a few other partners here. And there is this massive influx of people who are applying for unemployment insurance. And I think Governor Walz has done a tremendous job relaxing some of the guidelines and ensuring that people who are losing their jobs at this time can very quickly qualify for unemployment insurance and other services. Those are City of Duluth workers who need to provide those services to people. Many people don't have computers, and you need to get on to the computer to get into that deed and unemployment insurance system. So we have people who are working that front office right now, making sure that people can use that computer and managing the distance of people between computers. So, you know, oftentimes we think of essential services as police and fire and utilities, and they are, all of them, absolutely essential. And I think what we find in a time like this is that there are many, many other essential people working every day in ways that we really need them to show up for us. That includes the workforce development staff in this community. It includes, like we said, Safe Haven, and other resources like that. So essential workers are not just the ones providing the bare minimum of services. They're the ones providing that connection and thread to the tools that you need for your life to be able to continue.
This whole idea of computer access, and in particular in rural areas and reservations, has been really interesting because it's been something that people have been talking about for a long time, about how important this is, in particular for low-income people who don't have that access. And in our community, in many instances, that computer access was provided through the library, and that's no longer available. And we're seeing how that is, again, like you say, there are so many things that we take for granted. Oh, you just go onto the computer and sign up for fill in the blank. What happens if you don't have a computer access?
That's right. Yep, and these are the things we are thinking about long-term in terms of what are the facilities that we do have, what can we be providing in partnership either with the school district or the public library or the Department of Education. For me, and I think people who know me would understand that closing, like we did playgrounds and libraries and facilities like that, that is heartbreaking to have to do. And yet, our call to ensure that we are protecting people's health, like very, very basic tenets of health, public health, compels us to do that. It is actually as hard of a decision it isn't that hard. Once you see and understand the risk of contact, we need to protect our staff. We need to protect each other. We need to protect people who are vulnerable and without basic health care. And it's ironic and very painful that many of the supports that are at risk are the ones that we need to be controlling more at a time when people also need them more. So it isn't easy. This is not a particularly easy or fun set of circumstances to try to navigate in a way that gets us all over that finish line safely and with health and wellness.
One of the things that I know some people are concerned about have to do with the governor's stay-at-home order. Are police going to be patrolling the streets of Duluth? Will they be pulling people over and saying, "Where are you going?" Or what?
You know,
some folks are concerned about this, so it's a question to ask, obviously.
No, and I think DPD will be speaking about that a little bit today. I don't want to overstep or, you know, get into their space on that a little bit. I think Minnesotans, for the most part, are very diligent about wanting to protect their health and other people. And I have noticed, as I'm sure so many people have, already people are in that mode of staying home. And so this will help. This gives people tools to ask those questions. I can't imagine that's a position many people want to be in. I think police would much rather be providing their services to people who need it in an emergency, but I'll let DPD answer that. I'm sure there is the opportunity to do enforcement, and in certain circumstances it might be really important to do that.
And I also know there have been a number of conversations. Of course, radio and television stations and broadcasters are considered essential. And there's been a number of conversations internally about having documentation available to say, I am not really doodling around town, you know, sightseeing. I am, in fact, on my way to the radio station or fill in the blank. And so I am sure that people are also curious about whether or not, as essential workers, they're going to need any kind of documentation and what kind of documentation they might need to provide if necessary.
Yeah, I suppose it's never a bad idea, right, to have a sense. Many of us, I have a badge that says I work at the City of Duluth, for instance. I think many people have a badge or something that they can quickly just kind of have as that identifier. I do have to say, for the most part, Duluthians really, really care. We want to do the right thing by one another. And so I think we do want to be mindful about having IDs and those kinds of things. And I also think I don't see people coloring way outside of the lines on this. I think we're past that. I think the governor and the city and the county, I think we've all done a really good job of stepping people, you know, in measured ways towards where this is going on Friday. I think no one is surprised that there is a shelter in place. I don't think anyone loves it. But, you know, I think we have done a good job of helping people slowly step towards that and forecast that. And I'm super impressed and grateful that we're a community that is doing, you know, we really are doing our part. We may not like it, but we really are doing our part.
Emily, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you taking some time out of what I'm sure is shaping up to be an extraordinarily busy day.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks so much.
Duluth Mayor Emily Larson, our guest this morning here on Northland Morning.